Morning and your smiling faces. The temperatures have finally decreased. That makes Pastor Matt a happy man. Everyone give a round of applause to the Lord for bringing down the temperatures. Yeah! Woo! That's what I'm talking about. All right, Gail's not so happy about that, but we won't have snow for a while, Gail. It's okay. No snow for a while. Today is a very, very, very special day. It's the Kobe's Hike and Bike Event. Not only is it Kobe's bike and hike event, but it's also in memory of Carl. So if you haven't found someone to support, to sponsor, as they call it, please, in Carl's memory, let's make this the most memorable year for Little Swatara ever. And find a youth, find an adult that's walking today or riding, or I'll be on a motorcycle in Carl's memory, and just support this cause. It's a very, very worthy cause. And we'll be at Lidditz Church of the Brethren very shortly after the service, and just looking forward to a grand event. So please find someone to sponsor if you haven't done so already, and thank you to those that already have. It's just an overwhelming day for the Myers especially, but especially to help support Kobe's as well. We do want to highlight this coming Saturday, 7 to 10 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. There's a breakfast buffet, and we just want to encourage you to come on out and support the church and bring friends and neighbors. All are welcome to that event Saturday, September 19th, this coming Saturday. We also want to highlight there's a cafe at the cafe at 6 o'clock on Thursdays. We'd love to see attendance increase at the feeding trough. It's just a Bible study, and we're going through the New Testament. My brother Bud here is doing a fantastic job with leading us through that. The discussion has been exciting, talking about topics that relate to our lives. So come on out 6 o'clock on Thursdays to the cafe, and we'd love to join in discussion together. We do want to highlight, this is during the prayer time as well, but the funeral service, the memorial service for Carl will be on Saturday. It starts at 11 o'clock, visitation, and then we're going to try to get the services started by noontime, but we will be sensitive to the visitation, and there'll be a fellowship gathering, a meal thereafter. So we want to thank everyone for your prayers, for Gene and the family, and especially for Mark, too, during this time, and just praise the Lord for just the way that he's been moving in their lives and comforting them. And then next Sunday as well is a soup and sandwich youth fundraiser. So those are always an excellent time to fill your stomachs. So that is next Sunday after the service. And then there'll be Triple J that night at 7 p.m. And that's going to be on the 3rd of the month. So 3rd of the month will be Triple J. And it's just an instrumental night. We're going to change it up a little bit this year. If you play an instrument, bring it by the cafe. And we're just going to have a great time of just playing whatever instruments you guys like to play and sing songs together. Just a little hoedown, if you will. We're in Berks County. I can use that word, right? A little hoedown? Okay, maybe not, Emmanuel. All right, we're good. All right, so there are our announcements. Are there any others we would like to highlight this morning? Any other announcements to highlight this morning?
No.
Okay, yeah, there's a microphone up there.
One announcement that we have to has to do with the end of the month. We have the relief auction. Of course, guess what, guys? They need some help. And there's a sign out sheet out in the narthex, and there's one downstairs by the coffee as well. What they're looking for is on Friday afternoon, they need someone for one person for either 3 to 6 or 6 to 9. They need somebody to serve drinks. So where the drinks are, where the food is and everything else, they need somebody to help out there. They also need a couple people on Saturday afternoon. We need at least 2, maybe 3 people between 3 and 5 to 5:30 helping to clean up the kitchen. So if you guys can help, that'll be great. Also, the arrangement committee, the people who put this whole thing together, are always looking for some help. What they need is, basically, they need, if you can give an hour on Saturday, that'll be great. They're looking for some people just to be able to fill some time slots. You might be being a runner at the auction. You may be helping with the garbage, or you may be running from one booth to the next, helping out with cash or whatever they might need. But they just need you to commit 1 hour of your time. The sign-up sheets, like I said, are out in the bowl, out in the narthex, and there's also one downstairs by the coffee. So if you have any questions, you can give me a call. Thanks.
We encourage you to stand and greet one another, and as you're gathering this morning, to take time to fill out the attendance register at the end of the rows. We'd greatly appreciate that. But welcome one another this morning, and let's enter into worship as we greet one another.
No, that's fine. Yep.
And you were going to leave.
Yes. Yep.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
So there was a $5 bill and a $50 bill, and it was traveling down the conveyor belt together. And they were having a conversation of some of the places that they've been. And the $20 bill said, well, I've been to a casino. I've been to the Bahamas. I've been to all these glorious places. And the $5 bill looks at the $20 bills. I've never heard of any of those places. I've been to the Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, and we won't say Brethren Church because we know we are joyful givers here. Not to make fun of our offering, but it is something we take seriously week in and week out and do for the Lord. It's not unto ourselves, but for the Lord that we pour out our blessing. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to know that you ask us to give from our hearts. Lord, we don't give out of obligation. We don't give because we feel we need to. But Father, we give because we love you, and we give because we know it brings honor to your name. So Father, this morning, I just pray you would bless each giver, that you would help them to see the difference it's making in this church and in this community. And Father, that you would set a fire on our hearts as this offering plate is given before us, that we would dig deep, not only into our hearts, but into our pockets to serve you in this way as joyful givers. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll do the children's moment.
Okay, I want all the kids to come up front here and make a line down the row. Make a row. Make a line down the row. Can you do that? No? Okay.
Here, line up behind me.
Line up behind Pastor Matt.
First. Here, how about line up this way? Then you can see everybody. Look how beautiful they are out there this morning. You guys want to line up behind me?
Yeah.
Can you line up? No?
There we go.
There we go.
Good job. Straight line.
Straight line.
Yeah.
right?
All right, there you go.
And I will pass everyone out a surprise. But no, wait. Everyone's gonna get the same exact thing. But I'm gonna start at the end of the line and work my way front. Didn't Jesus say, first shall be last, something like that, right? So I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna go that way. Here. For you. Well, were some of you surprised that I started at the end of the line instead of the front? Yeah? And I wanted to give you a bit of an idea of what Jesus meant when he said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Jesus taught us that in his kingdom, he doesn't want us, that's his followers, that's us, to be pushing to be first in line. He doesn't want us to think that what we want is more important than what people want. He wants us to think first about other people's needs and then put ourselves back in the picture. That might mean saying, you go first to someone instead of, I'm going first. So everyone got a piece of got a treat, and but you waited your turn, right? Jesus wants us to be like him. He wants us to be kind and think about what is good for other people around us, not just what is good for us. Maybe that means getting in the end of the line behind all the other people when something good is being passed out or when a person's being chosen to do something. God wants us to remember that other kids' needs and wants are just as important or perhaps more important than ourselves. Jesus wants us to be servants to other people. You know what a servant is, don't you? Yes? No? Yes? Yes? Okay. You know, like a waiter at the restaurant, the waiter doesn't sit down and eat when they're hungry. They wait until everyone else has been fed, and then they go and eat. A servant also is someone that takes care of other people's needs first. Their own needs wait until everyone else is happy. Jesus wants us to be like that. He wants us to be humble, to be servants, to put other people before us. Let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, help us remember to be like you, to be a servant for others. Help us to think of other people before ourselves, to let others go first. Help us to remember to say you first instead of me first. Amen.
Great job, guys. You can head back to your seats. You guys did wonderful. I was never all that great at forming lines either. Never understood a line. All right. We invite you this morning to share in our joys and concerns. We certainly want to keep the Carl Myers family in prayer this morning, and Mark as well. And you see on your bulletin a list of prayer concerns, and I hope each day you lift those up in prayer. But we open this time to ask you if there's any joys or concerns that you'd share with us this morning. There'll be a microphone coming around.
I know most of you don't follow the events in Japan as closely as some of us do. Amy is 30 miles away from the flooding. However, she did have at least 6 days of rain. Amy was where the earthquake was. It's not her first earthquake. It was probably the most severe one that she's felt. She didn't seem to mind it except that The casualty in her apartment was her bottle of shampoo, so she's fine. But please keep all the people of Japan in your prayers, because there is really damage in the flooded area, and not much damage from the earthquake at this point. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, Friday evening, Mary and I visited with Mark Myers, and of course, Mark had his eye surgery on Friday, and everything went well, but please pray for him. He's going to be face down for the 7 days, and when face down, even if he's sitting, he's got to be looking at the floor, so he talk about being a real pain in the neck.
Thank you. Yes. Others this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just take a moment this morning and we breathe in and we breathe out. And we pause to think of your greatness. We pause to think that as believers, when our time on this earth is at its last breath, that we're in your presence. And Father, this morning our hearts go out to the Carl Myers family. And Father, we're just praying your comfort for Gene especially. We're praying your encouragement for the entire family as they go through this time of grieving. But Lord, we know that there is hope. We know that there is the promise of an eternal future, and Carl is there in this very moment. So we gather this Saturday and we celebrate his life. And we remember the cherished memories that he has had in each of our lives. So Father, please, we're asking you this morning and throughout the remainder of that family's days, they've been through entirely too much. And we just pray your hand of comfort upon them. We think of Mark this morning and the eye surgery that went well, but there's a healing process ahead, and having your face down for an entire week is a difficult task, but Lord, we're praying for perseverance, and we're praying for an even speedy recovery than what the doctors are saying, for we know that you are the master physician. Lord, we think of our own lives, we think of our own families, and we pray, Lord, that we wouldn't take anything for granted, that we would live in forgiveness with one another, that we would learn to love and accept one another. And especially, Lord, to take those times we have as families as the potential they could be the last, because we recognize that it's just a vapor that we're here. So, Lord, we just turn our hearts to you this morning. You know exactly what's happening in our lives. You know the destruction that's taking place where Amy's living, and we're just praying that you would continue to protect her from the earthquakes, from the flooding. And we think of our own lives and those things that are flooding in against us. And we just pray relief from pain. We pray guidance. We pray for all those things that are on our hearts in these next few moments of silent prayer. But most importantly, Lord, we come to you asking forgiveness for those trespasses against you this past week and that continue to plague our lives. We're coming to you and we're just confessing and asking for you to allow us to be free from them. Hear us, Lord, as we pray. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for what the cross means to us as followers of your Son, Jesus. And we pray that each day we would have a cross focus, an eternal focus, knowing that these things of this world are temporary. But Father, your kingdom is eternal, lasts forever. So Father, help us as we travel through this life, as we journey together, that we would make love a priority forgiveness a priority, compassion a priority. But following you, an even higher priority. Making sure each day we know your word, what it says, as it can guide us out of situations we find ourselves in. It can speak truth to us, and it can speak encouragement to us. So, Lord, I pray you would not allow our Bibles to get dusty, but allow our Bibles to have pages that are worn, that we've been traveling through it and learning more about your son Jesus and things that took place that have so much meaning to our lives. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the love that you pour out unconditionally upon us. And we turn to you this morning and just ask that we would bring glory to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd ask you to please rise for our hymn number 327, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thereafter, we'll have our scripture reading this morning.
went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers were hired, who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life.
You can't be serious. This guy was here an hour ago. He was over here a couple hours ago, and these guys were here the longest with me. Look at all the sweat that we've been dripping. And we're all going to get the same pay? Are you serious? I guess it's your money. You can do whatever you want with it, but I don't get it. Why would you pay the person that was only here an hour and the people that were here all day the same wage? What? No answer? It's your money. You can do with it as you please. Well, I'll never work here again. This is hogwash. You serious? You can't be serious.
And those who are last now will be first then.
This parable was heard and Saul portrayed may very well confuse you as much as it did me the very first time I read it. It doesn't make a lot of sense that the worker who was there the longest and no doubt got the most done gets the exact same wage as the ones who showed up in the final hour. But this is precisely what Jesus does in a parable to teach us a deeper meaning about life. For the past few weeks, we've focused on kingdom living and what matters most in our lives as followers of Christ. Now we're making a turn from parables that teach about the kingdom of God to those that teach about service and obedience. This morning we gather much information about living life upside down, losing to win, dying to gain, and in this case, being last to be first. You see, there's a stigma in society about being last. It often means we lost. We weren't the best, but the worst. It's a feeling of defeat. We're not on that sideline that begins chanting, na, 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 hey, 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 goodbye. No, not a good feeling at all when the other side begins chanting. Sometimes we realize the game is finished before it's even started. The coaches, I can remember coming down hard on us players. I can remember in boardrooms as I worked in banking, bosses lecturing us about the weak sales. Life, if we're really honest this morning, in one way or another, is about competition. There will be winners and there will be losers. But hear this, friends. When we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot lose. Not in the kingdom of God and not here on this earth. Jesus promises that in the world to come, God will restore those who have been oppressed, treated unfairly, and exploited in this world. Jesus, we see in this parable, challenges the wealth and status we find in many lives today. In ancient society, status defined roles. And those who complained about a day's wage for a day's work would be viewed as rude and ungrateful. Now, I'll be the first to admit I've never been popular. I never wore the name brand clothes. I never drove the coolest car. I had a lot more losing moments in my life, and I allowed those for the longest time to define me. But not only in competitions back in the day, but today in the daily task of living for Christ. Here's the thing. We spend a lot of time focusing on this part of the rope, this part that I've use duct tape to make red. But if you can imagine with me, the rest of this rope defines eternity. But we live life after this, seeking our pleasures with an inward focus. But friends, as we look at this rope, I want you to think about something. This taped off piece of rope represents a very short time on this earth. But the rest of the rope, if you can only imagine, it never ends. It goes on forever. And that, my friends, is what we call eternity. Eternity is everlasting. It will not end at the blow of a whistle or the final seconds ticking off of a clock. It's endless. And our finite minds can't wrap around what it means. But why? Why do we focus so much of our attention on the here and now? Many choose to follow Christ when it's convenient, when it works out best for them. But in this parable, we're taught a valuable life lesson. You see, the wealthy landowner represents God. The workers represent you and I. Hear me on this. It doesn't matter if we come to Christ when we're 7 or 70. Our reward is the same. Yet we're each judged on what we've done. There's a ton of confusion on that day whether followers of Christ will be accounted for. But Scripture is very clear that we will all give an account. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Last week, you talked about grace. And in this moment, we'll discover how extravagant His grace really is. Charles Stanley describes it like this: Jesus will reveal the true nature of a believer's heart to him or her. Every rebellious act, wrong attitude, cutting word will be reviewed. When the Bible says that Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes, I believe it's referring to this time. We'll be standing in the Holy Savior's presence, grieving over how undeserving we are of his sacrifice. But that sorrow will only last for a fleeting moment. On its heels comes the tremendous joy of having received forgiveness and lived a life pleasing to him. Christ's judgment is not a punishment. It's a reminder that we are pardoned. At last, we will fully realize the depth and breadth of his grace. So again, this morning, we ask ourselves why we waste so much time focusing on the things that are temporary and not focus more on the everlasting, the eternal, the kingdom of God, serving and being obedient to his word. What we need to understand is death was never a part of God's original plan. All he ever wanted was fellowship with mankind. And that's still what he wants from us. God's will has not changed. His original purpose is still intact. Of course, we know when Adam sinned, God's plan was modified. But his longing for fellowship was not forgotten. We learn that very first bite of the fruit, God already had in mind that Jesus, his only son, would be heading toward the agonizing pain of the cross. And if we remember that scene at the cross, there was a criminal on either side of Jesus. We consider them the last in life's standards. Both of them at one point mocked Jesus. One was even in agreement with the crowd, saying, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But then the other suddenly protested and said, "Don't you fear God even when you are dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds. But this man has not done anything wrong." And then he said this, and I want us to see the connection to the last being first. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in to your kingdom." And this gets me every time. Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." You can't be serious. This same dying criminal who's gasping for air and asking Jesus to remember him is the same man a few short moments before hurling insults at him. And now he's been assured, he's been promised, it's good as done, that he'll be with Jesus in paradise that very day. In our minds, it makes us question his sincerity. Makes us think, yeah, right. You're mocking Christ in 1 minute, and then you sense your life ebbing away. You act sorry and pious. We're thinking, what a hypocrite. You can't be serious. But notice again what Jesus responds. He doesn't turn a deaf ear or give a lecture or grill the guy with 100 questions. He simply promises to forgive the man and give him a place in the kingdom of God. Why, we might ask? It's all about believing on the Lord Jesus and knowing we will be saved. Being confident in our faith, living like today could be our last. Taking the rope and realizing It's not the here and now that matters, but it's the service to others in Jesus' name, the obedience to God's word. Our reward isn't simply based on the work we've done, or even how long for that matter. It's based, as the parable teaches us, God is generous. Friends, if we haven't figured it out yet, we serve a very, very generous God. What's intriguing in this parable is the complaining from the longest workers. It's connected to what we'd call a bad business practice. But God's kingdom is not a business. It doesn't work on business principle, but it works on grace. The big idea this morning is found in verse 16. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us so much more. If you're living for the life here and now, we can't be serious. There's an eternity waiting for us, friends. Let's live for what truly matters and focus our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith, Jesus, and realize, perhaps for the very first time, how deep the Father's love for us. Let's pray. Lord, we are overwhelmed this morning. We know, Lord, that your presence is here among us. But Father, we know that presence does not end here in this church, within these four walls. We know that that presence goes with us into our own worlds, to the people that we meet, to the situations we find ourselves amidst, and that presence makes all the difference. For we know, Lord, that it's through the Holy Spirit. When we believe and that Holy Spirit enters our lives, we are guaranteed a promise that we will be given direction. We will be given comfort in the struggles. And, oh Lord, we know what struggle looks like. We know that pain exists. But, Father, I'm praying in Jesus' name that we would be confident in our faith, knowing your presence is here and surrounds us at all times, no matter where we find ourselves. So, Lord, go forth with us this day. Encourage us. Nudge us to share our stories that others might learn, too, who you are. Father, thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to please rise for our closing worship this morning. It doesn't matter if we're 6 or 38 or 93. We have eternity as believers waiting before us. So I pray in this very moment we would recognize the presence of Christ, the power that he has through his Holy Spirit to impact not only our lives, but for our stories to intersect with the lives of those we come in contact with. And we might make a kingdom difference. Go in peace. Amen.